going to reference a text in the book of Ecclesiastes in just a few moments. And so you might go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. And we're going to use some text in Ecclesiastes to kind of set the tone of the lesson this evening. But I want you to think for a moment about the culture we live in. And I want you to think about your own life and how especially some of these things that we're going to discuss apply to your life. No doubt the things that we're going to discuss today will apply to us in different ways, since we are all in different times and areas of our life. We have different occupations. And so this topic that we're going to address this evening is broad in the sense that it touches every one of us, but it can be very narrow in the sense that how it affects you may be different than how it affects someone else. The topic we want to look at just a little bit this evening is the topic of entertainment. We want to talk a little bit about how we can think about entertainment and how we can understand what entertainment is proper, perhaps, and what entertainment is improper. But before we do that, it's worth pointing out that we live in a time and place that is consumed with entertainment. And I don't know if you're like me, but when you think of entertainment, there are certain forms of entertainment that just kind of jump out at you. You know, somebody says entertainment, and immediately my mind goes to things like movies and TV shows and maybe video games and sports. And that's sort of the big ones in my mind. And perhaps that's different for you. Maybe you think of entertainment in different ways, or other forms of entertainment initially jump out when you hear that word. But it's important to recognize how broad this topic is. How broad the topic of entertainment is, because it doesn't just cover movies and TV shows and video games and sports, but really entertainment includes anything we use to pass time. Entertainment is anything that is a leisure or a recreational activity used to pass time, used in our free time. To some people absolutely hate books, but to some people, books is a form of entertainment. Bill could probably attest to that. You know, you just pass time by reading books. Some people use that as a form of entertainment. Some people use magazines the same way. They'll thumb through magazines or look at magazines as a form of entertainment. Some people use social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever the case may be, as a form of entertainment, something to pass the time. We'll just sit on our phones and thumb through social media at times because it's a pastime. It's a leisure activity. You think about YouTube. You think about even things that are inherently sinful, such as pornography, is a form of entertainment because people use it to pass their time as a pleasureful kind of event used outside of their regular course of activity. You think about things, activities like hunting or even the vacations we take are all forms of entertainment. And we could go on and think about whatever you use to pass your time. It's a form of entertainment. Whatever you use to unwind in your leisure time as a form of recreation, it's entertainment. And so when we talk about entertainment, while there might be certain things that really stick out to us and we think, wow, that's what entertainment is, really this is a very broad topic. And we need to be careful when we consider the entertainment we take in, not to hone in on just one aspect, although certain aspects may be more prevalent in our lives. But we need to be careful to recognize all the ways we entertain ourselves and make sure that they conform themselves to the Word of God. That's the goal, to make sure every aspect of our life, of our lives come under the control of God. You know, you think about all the things that we're consumed with, all the kinds of entertainment activities we've already listed. I think we are especially consumed by entertainment and these things because most of these things that we've talked about and listed so far can be enjoyed on demand. Now you think about services, Netflix or YouTube or these things where you can push a button and it comes on the screen right away. It's on demand. It's right there at our fingertips. That's easy to become consumed with something like that. Instant gratification. Whatever you want, it's right there. But also, these on-demand activities or forms of entertainment we can have on devices that fit in our pockets. No wonder we're so consumed with entertainment. No wonder we are constantly entertaining ourselves, constantly in a state of leisure activities and so forth. And it's no surprise, because our indulgence in entertainment, and I'm referring to our as a society, as a whole, as a culture, our indulgence in entertainment is well documented. I read a report as I was preparing this lesson. It said the average American uses 5.3 hours a day on entertainment. 5.3 hours a day is used entertainment on average. And you might think, well, that's not really that bad. But when you compare it to the fact that the same study found out that the average American only uses 8 minutes on spiritual activities a day, it becomes pretty appalling. 8 minutes praying, reading scripture, talking about spiritual things. That was 8 minutes a day compared to the 5.3 hours a day on average Americans spend on entertainment. We spend worldwide around $480 to $620 billion on the sports industry every year. Billions of dollars flow into entertainment. That's not even to describe the movie industry or those kinds of things. And furthermore, you think about how we idolize celebrities. You think about how we have whole TV shows devoted to their gossip and entire reality TV shows devoted to their lives. And you think about the magazines and the channels and all of these kinds of things. That all indicates our indulgence in entertainment, how much we desire it, how much we crave it. But we shouldn't think this is a new problem. We shouldn't come to think, well, you know, they didn't have these problems back in the good old days, because in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10, the wise man Solomon says, "That which has been is that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done. So there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one might say, 'See this, it is new'? Already it has existed for ages, which were before us." You see, the wisdom of Solomon instructs us, it tells us, that there is nothing new under the sun. The same things that we struggle with today are the same things they struggled with 10 years ago, same things they struggled with 100 years ago, same things they struggled with 1,000 years ago, and so on. Sure, there are new devices. Sure, there are new technologies. Sure, there are new ways to get entertainment in front of us, but we should not think that we are the only society to come up with leisure or with entertainment. Societies long before us entertained themselves with various Olympic events, various theatrical shows, different kinds of sporting activities. All of these things were entertainment. They were leisure activities, just like our own leisure activities. The question we must ask is, what does God teach about this timeless problem? What is it that God directs us to do or not to do when it comes to entertainment? That's what we want to think about just a few minutes this evening. And the first thing I want to point out to you is that entertainment is not inherently sinful. In fact, entertainment in and of itself is not sinful at all. That is, free time, spending free time in leisure activities is not a sin. Look over in the book of Ecclesiastes to chapter 3. And notice what Solomon wrote a little bit later in this book. This is one of my favorite texts because I feel like it's one of the texts that really captures real life. And I don't say that to say that other texts don't capture real life. All of Scripture speaks to life. But this one really seems to bring it down to earth. Of course, the whole book of Ecclesiastes does that, describes what takes place under the sun. But here we have Solomon, and he simply observes in verse 1 that there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. And then he goes on to describe some of these events. There's a time to give birth and a time to die. There's a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. But I want you to notice especially what he observes in verse 4. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. There is a time to mourn and a time to dance. Of course, he goes back and forth and he kind of offers a negative and then a positive. There's a time for negative things and a time for positive things. But his point is this: there is a time for everything. I think we could plug in there that there's a time for entertainment. There's a good and a proper time for these things. There's a good and a proper time to enjoy our free time. And you think about the words of Solomon in this instance. Solomon is the one who, in the book of 2 Kings, was given unimaginable wisdom from God. God-given wisdom, and he wrote these things. There's a time to weep. There's also a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn, and there's a time to dance. There's a time for the good things in life, Solomon says. And later, he tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, in fact, he tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, down in verse 7, "Go then, eat your bread in happiness, and drink your wine with a cheerful heart, for God has already approved your works. Let your clothes be white all the time, and let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which he has given to you under the sun. For this is your reward in life, and in your toil in which you have labored under the sun." There is a time to enjoy life. There's a time to enjoy the good things that God has given to us. And I think Solomon makes that pretty clear in the book of Ecclesiastes. But lest we think that this is just something from the book of Ecclesiastes, the New Testament reveals the very same thing. The New Testament also tells us that there are some things that are meant to be enjoyed. Look to the book of 1 Timothy with me. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I want you to notice the words of Paul to the young preacher. 1 Timothy chapter 6, down in verse 17. He's in a context here, speaking to Timothy, about those who are rich and how he needs to instruct those and rebuke them at times and how these things are to take place. For 1 Timothy chapter 6, down in verse 17, he says, "Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to what? To enjoy." God supplies us with things to be enjoyed. That does not mean that there is not a proper way to view those things. In fact, he describes that here. He tells them to instruct those people who are rich not to put their hope in those earthly things, although God gave them to be enjoyed. Don't put your hope in them. There's a proper way to view these things that God has given us to be enjoyed. Furthermore, entertainment is used throughout the New Testament as illustrations for spiritual things. And I think that's interesting. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, Paul uses the analogy of Olympic-style competitions. The one who fights does not, he fights not like the one beating the air, but he fights to win. The one running the race runs to win. We see the racing imagery again in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, where Paul ran the race. He finished the course. You see, they're using these leisure activities, these sporting activities, as illustrations for spiritual things. You think Paul would use those things as illustrations if they were inherently sinful? If they were wrong from the beginning, we shouldn't engage in anything like those? Well, no. Equally as much, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, Paul looks to the theatrical world. He describes the various things that would have taken place in Corinth's theater. He does a similar thing in Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, where Paul is speaking to the Gentiles, to those on Mars Hill. He's describing the unknown God to them. And there he says, "As your poets have said," he quotes their poets. He quotes the theaters. He quotes the leisure activities of the day. Entertainment is obviously not inherently sinful. There is a good and a proper place for entertainment. In fact, let me suggest to you that entertainment can help us serve God if we use it properly. Entertainment can be used in such a way that it brings about God's glory. Look over to the book of Colossians with me. Colossians chapter 3, a text that you might be familiar with. It's one that is quoted quite frequently. Colossians chapter 3, down in verse 17. Colossians 3 and verse 17, Paul says, "Whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." A few verses later, down in verse 23, he makes a very similar point when he says, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men." Speaking there specifically to slaves and how they would go about serving. But it's almost the same point he's making. Whatever you do, do it for God. You think entertainment can fall under the word whatever? Whatever you do, if you're working, work for God. If you're entertaining yourself, do it for God. Bring about God's glory in that. Whether it be work, school, day-to-day activities, or whether it be the very activities that we use to waste our time on a Saturday afternoon. Whatever you do, do it for God. Do it to glorify God. How can we use entertainment to glorify God? How can it be that we can, you say, well, you know, I'm going to the movies. How can I do that for God? I'm going to a baseball game. How on earth do I do that for God? I think there are a couple of ways that we can conceive that entertainment can actually help us serve God and help us bring glory to God. Think about a couple with me. First, entertainment can help us avoid burnout. A lot of times, if we work nonstop, if we keep working and never take a break, that can cause us to become overly stressed, overly bombarded with the world and the pressures of the world. If we say, well, I'm never going to involve myself in entertainment, do you think that could bleed over into our spiritual life? Do you think the stresses of the world, if they mount, could in fact pressure us into serving God in a lesser way, in a way that is not glorifying to Him? I think absolutely. Absolutely the stresses of the world can impact the way we worship God and serve God in the church. Entertainment can help us avoid that burnout. Entertainment can help us keep our head on straight at times. Can help us realize that stress isn't everything in the world, and we can take a break. Not from serving God, obviously, but we can take a break from the things of the world to avoid that. Entertainment can help us bring our families closer together. You think about the directions in Scripture for families to work with one another, children to honor your parents, parents to take care of your children, the familial relationship that is to be such a strong bond as Scripture speaks of it. Think about entertainment as being a way that we can bring our families together, whether it be through a game night or an outing at a park, a picnic. These kinds of forms of entertainment can be good for the family unit. It can help us serve God in the home. You think about the fact that entertainment can help us spread the gospel. Have you ever used entertainment for that? Maybe you're going to that anticipated premiere of a movie. What do you talk with the guy behind the line with you about? What do you talk to the guy who's waiting at the concession stand at the ballpark with you? What do you talk about? Maybe you have common ground. Maybe you share an interest in a form of entertainment. Maybe you share an interest in hunting with someone you're talking to at the grocery store. Maybe you share an interest in baseball or in music. That's an in. Use it to God's glory. Use these forms of entertainment to bring about the glory of God. They can be used to help us serve God. Perhaps there are more ways we can think of. I would encourage you to look out. When you're entertaining yourself, when you're enjoying some downtime, consider how you can better serve God in that. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Simply put, entertainment is not evil. Entertainment is not something to be avoided at all cost. Movies, games, internet, sports, books, all of these kinds of things are fine. They're good things, in fact. And they can and should be used to help us glorify God. However, we must also understand that entertainment can be sinful. That's the second point I want to bring up to you. Entertainment is not inherently sinful, but entertainment can be sinful. Christians are called to live up to a very high standard. We've talked about this before. The high standard of a holy lifestyle. Over in the book of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, notice what Peter writes to the Christians of the dispersion. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he says in verse 14, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" Be holy in all your behavior. We've talked before about that word holy. Means to be separate, means to be unique, means to be different, means to be set apart from something. In this case, it is to be set apart from the world and the worldly lifestyle from which we came. Don't be like that anymore. Be holy in all your behavior. That's the high standard that Christians are called to. And I tell you what, we are quick at times to be holy in certain things. You want to talk about the way we organize this church? We're not like the world. We organize our church in a way that is scriptural, by the book, and we're holy about that. We're not like the world at all. You want to talk about the way we worship? We don't add anything to scripture. We're by the book. Those things are good. I'm not mocking those things. We need to follow God's word exactly. But what about our entertainment? We're good on the big things, the things that people see in the church. And maybe we don't say lies. You know, that's a big sin. Maybe we don't murder people. We're holy like that. What about our forms of entertainment? What about the things that we do in our leisure time? You see, we are quick to be holy in some things while simultaneously conforming to the world in our day-to-day activities, hobbies, and entertainment. Why is that? Why is it that we are so good at living up to this standard in some ways and yet so poor at it in other ways? God calls us to be holy in all our behavior. Not in some of it, not in the things that people will see, but in all of it. So when does entertainment become sinful then? If there is a time that entertainment crosses that line and becomes sinful before God and severs our relationship with God, where is that line? I don't know that I can answer that question, at least not completely, but I'm going to give a try. I want you to consider three things with me. Entertainment is sinful when it involves sinful activities. Well, duh. That should go without saying. Entertainment is sinful when it involves sinful activities. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Here's our goal. Jesus said, "You shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." We cannot sin and inherit the kingdom of God. That's what Paul taught in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Furthermore, in 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, John tells us that our actions, the things that we do with our life, reveal who our master is. Those who are of the devil sin. Those who are of God are righteous. They do not sin. They do not involve themselves in those sinful activities. This should go without saying that entertainment is sinful when it involves sinful activities. But when we entertain ourselves with sinful activities, we are in sin. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. There's no way around that. Entertainment is sinful when it involves sinful activities, because sinful activities do not become Christians. Sinful activities do not make us what God expects us to be, which is perfect as He is perfect. It makes us fall short of the glory of God. Look over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I like the way Paul words it here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 through 24. He says in verse 20 of Ephesians 4, "But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and then you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth." Paul says that when you become a Christian, you take off the old self. It's like a dirty garment. You take it off and you throw it aside and you never pick it up again. And you put on the new self. You put on clean garments, a clean self, a holy and a righteous self. And yet so often, we like to take the old man back out for a spin. Now just one more time, we're going to put him on. And we're going to go out and we're going to enjoy that, and then we'll take them off and put the new man back on. It's not the way that works. You take off the old man and throw him away, and you put on the new man. You think about ways that we entertain ourselves. You think about sports. And you think about sports specifically that involves immodest apparel, and there are plenty of them. You think about the swimming or the cheer or whatever the case may be. If it's a sport that involves immodest apparel, does that conform to the words of Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2 when he told us to adorn ourselves with modesty and discreetly? No. Entertainment becomes sinful when it involves sinful activities. You think about the co-workers that enjoy unwinding, a leisure activity. They unwind and they entertain themselves after a long day of work by going to the bar and getting some drinks. But does that conform to God's teaching in 1 Peter chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6 about not being drunk, not drinking at drinking parties and so forth? No. Entertainment is sinful when it involves sinful activities. Brethren, may we never justify our sins for the sake of entertainment. But it's fun. My kids love it. It's a way to get to know the co-workers. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, we read that this morning, where Paul describes all the sinful things that the Corinthians were. He says, you were these things, but now you're washed. Now you're justified in Christ. We can't live the way we once did anymore. It might be fun, it might be entertaining, but does it glorify God? Do we bring honor to God's name in what we're doing, or do we tarnish the name of God? Entertainment is sinful when it involves sinful activities. Let me go a step further. Entertainment is sinful when it causes improper thoughts. And I'm talking about in ourselves. Entertainment is sinful when it causes improper thoughts. You think about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. You think about what Jesus said as he radically redefined what sin is, how we think about sin. In Matthew chapter 5, notice what he said in verse 21. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. And whoever commits murder shall be liable to the courts. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. It's no longer the act of committing murder. It's now the internal thoughts of the heart that are equally as evil and wicked. Look down in verse 27. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. It is not just the act of adultery, but it is the looking with lust. It is the internal thoughts of the heart and the mind. It is no longer actions, but thoughts are wrong and wicked and sinful. God can judge the intentions and thoughts of man, by the way. We don't need to forget Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The word of God is so sharp that it can cut bone and marrow. It can also discern between the thoughts of the heart of men. We need to be careful. And we need to guard our thoughts. And we need to guard our hearts. And no place, perhaps no other place, is our guard let down further than when we're entertaining ourselves. That's when it seems to hit us most, right? When we're entertaining ourselves, when we're in our leisure time, when nobody's watching over us, when we're not on a time clock, that's when it seems that our thoughts can wander. Yet in the name of entertainment, this is forgotten. It's forgotten that Christ redefined these things. It's forgotten that Christ now considers the thoughts of the heart as wicked as the outward actions themselves. The search, you think about it, the search for the latest and greatest gadget, the forms of entertainment that we have in our cell phones and our computers, the search for the latest and greatest gadget can lead us to thoughts of discontentment. They can lead us to thoughts of jealousy. And yet that's what Paul taught against in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. And that's what Peter taught against in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Don't be discontent, but be content. Don't be jealous of those who have what you desire. You think about the entertainment in our world that is filled with sexual content. You can't hardly watch a commercial. You can't hardly drive down the interstate. And yet, how often do we flood our minds with the movies and the internet content and the TV shows that just fill us, inundate us with these images? Are we filling our hearts and minds with things that bring glory to God, or are we filling our hearts and minds with those things that lead us to improper thoughts? Why do we allow our minds to be filled with sin? I want to remind you that Jesus taught us some pretty extreme measures when it came to sins like these. Back in Matthew chapter 5, if we had kept reading, Matthew chapter 5, verse 29, if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. If For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Physical discomfort, physical deformity is better than spiritual death. I don't think Jesus is literally saying, pluck out your eye and cut off your hand. Then again, maybe he is. Maybe we really do need to take some drastic measures to avoid sin. And you know, you think about the people, I remember a movie once, where in the movie a man was struggling with pornography. And he finally, in reference to this text, he took his computer out, and it was back when they had the giant, you know, screens and the big boxes. And he took it out, and he set it on a stump, and he took a baseball bat to it. We could say he literally plucked out the eye. He literally removed the source of temptation. And I don't know that it has to be that extreme in every instance. We have these wonderful devices called remote controls. Change the channel. Remove the temptation from you. Get it out. Get away from it. It's better never to watch another movie than to go into hell knowing the latest Avengers trivia. I guarantee you. It is better never to watch another TV show than to go into hell knowing who won The Bachelor, who won Dancing with the Stars. It's just not worth it to fill your minds with that kind of inundation. Some things just aren't worth our souls. So in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, the wise man Solomon told us to guard our hearts. Make sure you keep it. It is one of the most valuable things God has given you. Entertainment is sinful when it causes improper thoughts in our own hearts and minds. Third, entertainment is sinful when it takes priority over God. Scripture directs us to focus on heavenly things. That's pretty common in Scripture. Focus on God. Focus on heavenly things. Focus upward, we might say. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 and 3, Paul there says to set your mind on things above. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us to store up our treasure where? In heaven. And in Matthew chapter 6, a few verses later, in verse 33, he says, seek the kingdom of God first. That should be priority number one, the kingdom of God and the things that come from that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul tells Timothy that as a good soldier of Christ, you're not to entangle yourselves in the world. Don't get mixed up in the things of the world. Keep your priorities straight. Keep your focus where it ought to be, is his point. However, to many people, entertainment is the preeminent thing. It's the end-all, the be-all. If we can just entertain ourselves enough, then that's the goal. That's what we're after. That's the priority in many people's minds. Often sports schedules dictate whether or not a family will assemble with the saints, rather than assembly times dictating whether or not a family plays sports. Why did we get our priorities backwards? When did that happen? Movie premieres are often preferred over Bible studies. Hunting and fishing will fill our weekends in place of worship at times. We need to understand this. This is important. If you're taking notes, you might want to jot this down. An activity of entertainment can be entirely wholesome and yet entirely sinful at the same time. There's nothing wrong with movie premieres. There's nothing wrong with children's sports. There's nothing wrong with hunting or fishing. But when it takes priority over the things of God, it is entirely sinful. An activity can be entirely wholesome and yet under certain circumstances be entirely sinful. And if we recognize that, I think it'll go a long way in helping us understand what entertainment we ought to be involving ourselves in and what entertainment we ought not to be. Look over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And I want to read to you beginning in verse 17. And I want you to ask yourself, Paul's going to describe two groups of people here. And I want you to ask yourself, which group describes you? Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory, by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. Do you walk in this world focused on worldly things, having your shame, your glory is in your shame, your appetite being the God who directs you? Or do you walk as those who are citizens of heaven, those whose home isn't here, but who is somewhere else? We need to consider that as we consider the entertainment we involve ourselves in. So entertainment is sinful when it takes priority over God. I want to talk just briefly with you, though, before I let you go, about some biblical principles that I think will help us guide our choices of entertainment. And there's perhaps more that could be said, but I just want to suggest two principles that will help us guide our choices of entertainment. So, to recap where we've been and show you where we're going, all entertainment is not wrong. Entertainment, in fact, can help us serve God, but some entertainment is wrong. The challenge is in determining what entertainment is right and proper and what entertainment does not glorify God. And I don't intend to give you a list of entertainment that you know, do this, 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 and this, and don't do this, this, and this. That's not helpful because I couldn't possibly cover everything. And I understand that there is an element of judgment in these things. We must all recognize that we must each determine and judge for ourselves what we can conscientiously engage in. But what I do want to offer is two biblical principles that I think if we follow and acknowledge these principles, it will help us shape what entertainment we involve ourselves in. First biblical principle is that we must feel a sense of shame. We must train ourselves to feel a sense of shame. If you go back to the book of Jeremiah, this was one of the major things that brought about the downfall of the nation of Judah. In the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is called to prophesy to the nation of Judah, the southern tribes of Israel, as they are about to go into captivity. And Jeremiah knows it. Jeremiah knows exactly where they're going because God has told him. And now God tells him to go tell them, this is where you're going. And this is why. Look in Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. God says, if a husband divorces his wife and she goes from him and belongs to another man, will he still return her? Will not that land be completely polluted? But you are a harlot with many lovers. You turn to me, declares the Lord. Lift up your eyes to the bare heights and see where have you not... lift up your eyes to the bare heights and see. Where have you not been violated? By the roads you have set for them, like an Arab in the desert, and you have polluted a land with your harlotry and with your wickedness. He's describing the children of Israel as harlots. They have played the harlot with God. They were supposed to be in a covenant relationship with God. They went away from God and committed harlotries. Therefore, verse 3, therefore the showers have been withheld, and there has been no spring. Yet you had a harlot's forehead. You refused to be ashamed. They refused to feel the proper shame for the sinful activities in which they were involved. Fast forward a little bit to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, down in verse 15. He similarly, in this text, he tells them all the things that they've done, all the ways that they violated his commands, and then he says in verse 15, were they ashamed because of the abominations they had done? They were not even ashamed at all. They did not even know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall at the time that I punish them. They shall be cast down. In Jeremiah chapter 8, he words it very similarly. Almost word for word, Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 12. Were they ashamed because of the abominations they had done? They certainly were not ashamed. And they did not know how to blush. Israel's problem that brought about their downfall was that they had forgotten how to blush. They forgot how to feel shame for the things that they were doing against God. They couldn't recognize wrongdoing when it was standing right in front of them, staring them in the face. And as a result, God punished them. He removed them from the promised land. A properly trained conscience can be a very valuable tool. If we can properly train our conscience according to God's word to guide us in God's principles, it will be invaluable to us. We need to learn from the example of Israel. Why do we not blush more at entertainment? Why do we not feel shame more when it comes to the entertainment that we use? How can we come to worship God on Sunday, but not realize come Friday night that we are filling our minds with garbage in the movies we watch, in the TV shows we watch? Well, it might be because Monday we didn't care to turn the TV off in the background. You know, it won't bother me if the TV's on in the background. You know, it doesn't matter what's on. But those kind of things callous us. They run us over. Maybe it's because on Tuesday we became desensitized to the language that's so common around us in the world and at work, and we didn't try to tune it out. We just, well, it's going to be there. We didn't even try to tune it out. Maybe it's because Wednesday we didn't study the Bible with our brethren because, HBO was showing a Harry Potter marathon or something. It's because we make those kinds of small choices in lieu of important things, putting things above God and His priorities. Maybe it's because by Thursday we were up late surfing through the internet's garbage. Maybe just accidentally stumbling upon things we shouldn't see, maybe with intent to go and find the evils on the internet. Then by Friday, what? By Friday, we're watching movies and I didn't notice that language. Well, I didn't notice the sex scene. I didn't notice these kinds of things in the movie. Brethren, we must learn to blush at sin every time. If we don't, we will become so calloused to sin that it won't bother us. It won't affect us. And that's not okay. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, Paul described those who would come along, who would have their conscience seared. It would be so calloused over that they wouldn't feel it anymore. Just like when you're working with tools, and you get those calluses on your fingers so that you don't feel the screwdriver, you don't feel the hammer anymore. You play the guitar and your fingers callous over so that you don't feel the strings anymore. The same can happen with sin. When sin keeps rubbing itself against our conscience, it gets to the point that we don't recognize it anymore. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul said that there are things that ought not to even be spoken of. They're so bad. And yet we fill our minds with them every day. Maybe not by choice, but we fill our minds with them every day. In Ezra chapter 9 and verse 6, we need to be more like Ezra. In Ezra chapter 9 and verse 6, Ezra said, "I am ashamed to lift my face up to you," praying to God. We need to have that sense of shame. We need to have that sense of feeling, of recognizing what sin we have in our lives. If we can do that, if we can train ourselves to feel a sense of shame, that will help us direct the entertainment we focus on. But secondly, we need to learn to feel a sense of shame. Secondly, we must focus on excellent and praiseworthy things. And here's what I mean by that. Over in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." We need to learn what kinds of things to dwell on. And we need to focus our minds on those things. Consider just a few of the things that Paul mentions here. We won't talk about all of them. But is our entertainment honorable? That's one of the things that Paul mentions. Focus on things that are honorable. Think on honorable things. In other words, is it worth holding up? Is it worth honoring the thing that we're doing? Is the movie we're watching worth honoring? Is the event we're going to worth honoring? Have you ever stopped what you're doing when someone comes in the room? Maybe you're searching on something online, or maybe you're watching a movie and you turn that off. Someone came in the room. That's probably an indication it's not very honorable. It's probably an indication it's not worthy of honoring, worthy of holding up. Have you ever told someone, "That's a really great movie, but you probably shouldn't see it"? It probably means it's not honorable. It's not worth holding up. It's not worth suggesting to someone. These things may indicate that these activities we're involved in are not honorable at all. Paul also says, think on things that are right. In other words, is it morally proper in God's eyes? Are we entertaining ourselves with those things that are moral or immoral? Are we entertaining ourselves with those things that are right or wrong? Is it a sinful activity or is it not a sinful activity? Paul says, think on things that are pure. Is our entertainment pure? That is it clean from spiritual impurities? That's what he's talking about, not physical things. But you know, there's an interesting application. That's a good way to talk about it. Because the best way to remain pure physically is not to go jump in the mud puddle, right? It's the same with entertainment, same with our spiritual lives. The best way to remain spiritually pure is not to go dirty ourselves with the spiritually impure things of the world. And I think what Paul does here is he offers sort of a litmus test. He offers sort of a test that we can run our entertainment by. He says at the end of this, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Run everything you do, every form of entertainment you think about, run it through those two things. Is it excellent? Is it worthy of praise? If you answer yes to both of those, enjoy. God has given you things to enjoy. And use it to God's glory. But if you look at the entertainment you're about to go into and you say, well, that's really not very excellent. That's really not worthy of praise. Don't even give it a second thought. Don't even look that way again. Train yourself to feel that sense of shame by focusing on these things, on these good and moral and pure and honorable things. We live in a world where people crave entertainment. We live in a world that is so filled with entertainment, and at every corner it's there. We don't have to go anywhere, and there's something to entertain us. But if our entire goal in this life is self-gratification, we will likely end up in places far darker, doing things far worse than we ever imagined, if our goal is self-gratification. The answer to properly guiding our entertainment choices is putting God first, not ourself, but God, ordering our priorities properly. We must ask not what will make me happy, not what will bring me joy, but what will glorify God. And what will help me better serve Him? Choosing to fill our time, choosing with what we fill our time, is important. But it's also very challenging. It's far too easy to feel at home in the entertainment. With the things that we fill our minds with, it's far too easy to feel at home. But we need to recognize that our home is in heaven. It's not here in this earth, but we ought to focus on heaven. We need to count the world as loss and press on toward that goal. Don't let your free time be what stands between you and eternity with God. Because, brethren, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. If there's anything we can do to help you today, we're going to have an opportunity now for that to happen. If you need assistance in coming to Christ, if you need to confess sins in your life, or if you just need the prayers of the saints and encouragement and study, we're willing to make that happen this evening. If there's anything we can do for you today, why not come forward at this time as we stand and as we sing a song of encouragement.